Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. How powerful is the power of music for some returning veterans suffering from physical and mental problems? It's striking the right chord. We'll be talking about that this Veterans Day a little bit later in the program. But first, for many older Americans, there is no place like home. They dread the day when they may be forced to move to assisted living facilities. They would rather stay in their homes and in their communities. A national movement helps them do just that, and it's coming to St. Louis in the not-too-distant future. It's called STL Village. It's not a place. It will be part of the national village-to-village network, comprised of 100 villages so far, 125 more on the drawing board. Here to explain are Sally Nikolayevich, co-chair of STL Village Board of Directors, and Arthur Colbert is chairman of the Exploratory Committee of STL Village. Thank you so much, both of you, for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
Sally, I'll begin with you. I'd like to get some sort of sense of what the national program, the Village to Village Network, is all about.
That's a peer-to-peer organization that provides support and in-depth information for all villages. So it doesn't, if you're forming a village or you're an existing village, it's a way to communicate with one another.
And set them up. I mean, obviously, the national organization is very, very busy.
Yes, and there's a conference in St. Louis today, tomorrow, and Wednesday with villagers from all over the country who are here to share their thoughts and help those of us who are forming.
And forming is the operative word here, Arthur. Tell us what's going on with regard to St. Louis and STL Village.
Well, villages are all very different. And when you asked Sally that question, what resonated with me immediately was there are villages, for example, in southern New Hampshire that are 400 square miles. There are some that are all volunteer. There are some that there are no membership fees. So they're all very, very different. And here in St. Louis, it really began a woman, Gloria Gordon, who we credit as the founder two or three years ago, was aware of this movement, had visited Beacon Hill where it began in Boston, Massachusetts, and came back and was trying to figure out how to do it here and make contact with myself, and we went and we visited Lincoln Park Village in Chicago to get a sense of what a real village looked like. Came back here and made the decision that we would create this village here in St. Louis. And part of what we're doing right now is creating a foundation of both membership and leadership that we hope is inclusive. And I think our footprint speaks to that. We consciously decided to go north of Del Mar to Page to be able to not stop at Del Mar and the history of the city, and to go west to Big Bend so we could be both in the city and in the county, and then, of course, over to Clayton and to Vandeventer. So we have an exploratory committee that varies sometimes between 10 and 12 and 15 people who are very committed, non-paid. And we have partnerships already. For example, the St. Louis University Law School Clinic wrote a 501c3. The Washington University Law School is trademarking our logo. And, you know, so we have all these partners that are really working with us to try to make this happen. And we are well into it. We've been working now for 16 months, and we expect to open on June 1st and with 75 members.
Okay. Well, I want to clarify a couple of things. My understanding of the borders, the parameters of this village, were going to be Del Mar to Highway 40 and Vandeventer to Skinker is what I understood. You say it's going to go beyond that.
Yes. Our office now is in the loop, and it would have been a little unusual to have our office outside of the footprint. Mm-hmm. So we are partnering with St. Andrews in a building that's owned by Joe Edwards, and that will be our office for the foreseeable future. So we're delighted and honored to be part of that group. And by virtue of that, we use it as an opportunity to be able to then move into the county. And by doing that, it allows the Agency for Aging in both the city and the county to work on aging together through the village in ways that heretofore they might not have been able to do.
Sally, I'm glad to hear that Joe Edwards is involved at least peripherally, because anything he touches seems to work out pretty well. Okay, we've established now the geography, but I think we have to tell folks exactly what this is. What is the village? How is it going to work? And so on.
Well, I'll start that and then throw it to Arthur, who's more knowledgeable than I. But the village is really a plan, not a place. That's the first thing to understand. It's not a building somewhere, because it's everyone in their own home. And really what the village does is it creates a network of support so that you can stay in your home and be there in a safe and socially connected way. What you'll be able to do as a village member is to call the office or click your mouse and request help. And a big part of the village is a volunteer corps. So if you need a ride to the grocery store because you no longer drive, you call and say, "Can I get a ride Tuesday morning?" And more likely, that will be a volunteer who will come and take you to the grocery store. So there will be lots of services. There will be social activities, wellness activities, just really a wealth of support so that you can stay in your home and in your community.
Is it going to cost me if I make that call?
Yes, it's a membership-based organization.
Mm-hmm. All righty. Can you give me any sense of what kind of fees you're talking about?
I think an individual membership fee will be $50 a month, and a household, broadly defined, will be $70 a month.
Mm-hmm. What about medical care? I mean, a lot of the people that we're talking about are at various stages of their senior years, and often that requires medical attention.
No, this is not to provide medical care. And I think the other half of the equation, in addition to the services, is really the activities. And I think what really makes the villages successful are the activities. You know, what we know in terms of successful aging are people who have the kind of activities that give them joyful living. And so my analogy always is as a teacher, and you have a lesson plan. And the lesson plan, if you're in the village, are what kind of activities do you need to keep you happy, socially engaged, avoid isolation, and really get out there and continue to do the things that you like, in addition to what kinds of services. So an example would be that perhaps when I was a certain age and happy hours, I couldn't afford to go to them. Now I have the means to do that, but I look a little weird going if I'm 84 years old. Mm-hmm. So the village will have a happy hour once or twice a month. So something as simple as that. If you want to bake and you want to start a baking club, we'll help you do that. So what are the kind of activities that would make Don Marsh happy, okay,
Let's not get into that.
as a member of the village. And then our responsibility is to try to see to it in a very proactive way. You know, somebody's paying attention to the kinds of activities that you think you need to keep you socially engaged. And I think that's the real, I think, beauty of the village model. It's really the trying to avoid that social isolationism through the kinds of activities that have brought you joy to this point in your life.
Do you have any idea how many potential clients, I guess we can call them? Maybe you use another word, but how many are out there in this area that we've talked about?
I think the numbers of members that probably are available that would be 50 and older are somewhere in the neighborhood of about 7,500 households, you know, potential members. And so most villages start with somewhere around 60 to 70 members. We're thinking 75. But again, if you use Lincoln Park as an example, 4 years later, they have 360 members. So it's something that we want to start small. We want to be good at. We want people to feel that it works. They become our biggest ambassadors. And then grow it slowly.
Sally, I think we have to be careful not to make people think we're talking about folks who are ready for a nursing home. We're talking That's a very, very important distinction, it occurs to me.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think it's important for a village to have – we talk about the age group beginning at 50 years old. And a lot of people say that, well, I'm not ready for the village. Mm-hmm. But I've also heard people say, you know, it's important to me. I joined early so that I could give before I needed to take. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a good distinction to be made. It is difficult to capture that age group, that people who are 50 plus but say, well, I'm not ready for the village. But really, we all are ready for the village. It's a community.
Well, and I would imagine that the families of the people we're talking about are ready for the village too, because it will give them a little more free time.
Absolutely. And I think that's important for us to recognize that that's a demographic that we would like to speak to, the children of people who live in our footprint. And particularly when there is no family in town, it's a great help to family members. If your parents live in St. Louis and you live in Boston, to know that somebody's there helping your parents and looking out for them because you're not right there.
How are you going to know, Arthur, when people are no longer ready for the village, that they'll have to move on to a more advanced kind of facility?
Well, again, you know, we need to have volunteers and staff and partners who do this and who are experts at this. And again, you know, you need to visit people in their homes. It's not enough to pick up the phone or get their email. You really need to see them in their home environment and better assess who they are. And again, I would not say I'm able to do that, but there are people. And again, working with groups like St. Andrews and others who do this all the time will provide that kind of leadership and partnership to do that. For us, it's not about reinventing and doing things that are already out there. It's identifying the people who do this well and having them as part of our village team to try to help us do that, Don.
So it's not just anybody who's interested in doing good for the community or for the neighbors. This recruiting process is going to be fairly stringent, I would think, Sally.
Well, there is going to be all kinds of volunteers. Mm-hmm. Driving someone to the grocery store is not the same as being able to go in there and assess whether they're capable of staying at home.
This is in today's litigious society. I would think that there's a fine line that has to be drawn here.
Again, yes, but you know these villages now 12 years of operation, and I think all but two have succeeded. And so, again, we're not the first person, and you know, you build on the successes and you learn from others and you try not to make the mistakes that other people warn you about. So, yes, all that needs to be taken into consideration, but I think we do it in an enthusiastic way, in a way that is caring, and a way that will be very successful.
Yeah. I have to take a break. Before I do that, I want to invite members of our listening audience to get into this conversation. If you have questions about STL Village, which is what we're talking about today, this is a neighborhood, if you will, where people who are not ready for the assisted living centers can be involved and have some help come their way if they need it. My guests in studio are Sally Nikolayevich. She's with STL Village, as is Arthur Colbert. And we'll continue that conversation. Come on into it if you'd like. 382-8255 is the number. That's 382-TALK. You can send us an email at talk@stlpublicradio.org or send us a tweet at STL on air. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again and welcome back. We'll be continuing our conversation on STL Village in just a moment. But first, here are some of the stories our St. Louis Public Radio newsroom is following today. The Missouri Department of Elementary and Secondary Education is holding the first of two hearings on the Normandy School District tonight. The hearings are designed to listen to the public regarding efforts to return the district to accredited status and determine what community resources may be useful or necessary in support of that effort. Hundreds of bidders now own a piece of Stan Musial memorabilia after an online auction of his possessions. Heritage Auctions of Dallas said today the winning bids for the month-long auction totaled $1.2 million, far more than expected. The auction ended on Saturday. And ceremonies are taking place throughout the region today to honor those who have served in the military. They include events at the Soldiers Memorial in downtown St. Louis, Bell Fountain Cemetery in North St. Louis, and the Missouri State Capitol in Jefferson City. You can hear more about these stories and more this afternoon on St. Louis Public Radio and throughout the day at stlpublicradio.org. Now back to our conversation about STL Village with Sally Nikolayevich and Arthur Colbert. Arthur, let me come back to you. What has been learned, do you think, that will be useful here in St. Louis from the villages in other parts of the country?
Well, number one, we have 10,000 people who retire every day, and 90% of them want to stay at home.
Yeah.
There's a terrific group of researchers out of University of California, Berkeley, who have been following this now the past 4 years. And they are really discovering that people are feeling safer, feeling more in control of their life, feeling happier, more socially engaged. So all the things that the people who had founded these villages before St. Louis, the data is now speaking and supporting that this is actually occurring as part of all that. I think what we've learned is that we don't really need to worry about how big we are. I think it's really about making sure that we have a strong, inclusive foundation. I keep going back to that, and I think it's really important. I think one of the reasons why it will succeed in St. Louis is that we're so neighborhood-centered, And again, the nature of the village is to really take it down to that smallest neighborhood. And it's not complicated. It's almost a return to the future, where in years past, we knew who lived near us, and we took care of each other, and we looked out for each other. And that's really some of the guiding principles of, I think, what STL Village and other villages are modeled after.
Sally, given the geography we talked about at the beginning of the program, we're basically talking from Del Mar to 40 and from Van Deventer out into beyond Big Bend or so, into University City. That includes some rough neighborhoods. And I can see some challenges and some problem potential there. How do you deal with that?
We've already been very lucky to make relationships with some wonderful partners in the North neighborhoods, and we don't really see that as a problem. I think we will be able to surmount those issues and provide services and community and come together in a good way.
But, Arthur, you say your desire is to make it inclusive, and that's obviously what this part of the our area is all about.
Yeah, inclusive in many ways, yep. You know, and culture, all different types of ways. And, yes, very much so, a conscious decision to try to address issues of the past here in St. Louis by building a village that would be inclusive and invite everybody to be part of this network.
How are you recruiting, Sal? How are you recruiting your volunteers? How are you going about that?
We've been holding informational sessions, and we had a wonderful event in October. We aired a film, The Age of Champions, and it was a great evening. Unfortunately, it was the first night of the World Series, so our attendance wasn't quite where we wanted it to be. But we did acknowledge that we had a core group there that night, and it's building. We're doing events. We're starting newsletters. And we're just beginning this outreach effort.
Arthur, when do you plan to actually have it have that bell ring saying we're open for business?
Well, we're going to have a big coming out party at the History Museum on April 5th. It's a Saturday from 9 to 12. And we will open. The UPS truck will pull up, as I describe, on June 1st. Mm-hmm. And we really expect to be open. And the first caller, mouse click, will come in and we'll begin to provide the activities and services. But what's important to note is, until we're open, we really don't know what those services and activities are, because the people who will join the village will get to determine what they are. So we have some sense of what other villages have provided and what's worked well, and we think that the majority of those will be the same in St. Louis, but there could be some changes and nuances, and we'll have to wait to see what those are.
And Sally, how can the people who want to be involved, not the volunteers now, I'm talking about the people who will need the services, how can they go about becoming involved?
They can call our office number, and I'm looking for it here. It's 314-802-0275. We do have a website, or we have a splash page, I should say, and it doesn't yet give a whole lot of information because our full website is still in development. We hope that'll be up in another month or two. But you can call that number and speak to Madeline or Sandra, and they will be happy to tell you all about the village.
We will put that number on our website, stlpublicradio.org, so folks can get to it, and any other information that is relevant. We have some calls. Let's start bringing the audience into this conversation and see what they have on their minds. Maybe they have some ideas that can be helpful to you. We'll see. Chris in University City, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. I was interested in this because I've given a fair amount of thought to how you build communities for people aging. Thought of two things. One, we have an organization, St. Louis, that's been here for years called Grace Hill. And when I was on a United Way committee, I observed what they did, which was to effectively use, and this was back in the 80s, computers to get information so that if a person came in for a service, that person would have to provide his or her name. And then there would be a listing on the computer of a whole series of things that people might need. And this was in a community that really existed without money, sort of a barterish community for people who are very poor. But essentially, once you listed your services and you got a service, whether it be cleaning your house, doing windows, being taken to the grocery store, stitching clothes, whatever, then once you have received that service, you had to at the point at which you came in or called and had to list the skill sets that you had. And then the expectation was that when you were called, you would have to provide that service. So there was a built-in of reciprocity, which I thought, from what you're saying, when you bring in a bunch of older people and want to hold down costs, one of the ways to do this is build up a network of information about the community you're working in. And Grace Hill has a model, which I think was very effective. And then the other thing is I just thought you ought to think in terms of the groups of 10. So I've often thought the way to do this is you group people in groups of 10s, the youngest being the most able to the older, and it doesn't have to be 10s, but that's sort of my concept. And that as people come into it, they may, in very small groups, be able to provide services so that those people who are younger can help, you know, getting a person up and down stairs. Person who has to get up and downstairs may be able to provide reading services or something else, or cooking services, so long as you don't have to move that much. And so that you, again, build up a reciprocity by age groups and then by skill sets. And you start very small with the age groups, and then you build out with skill sets. And if you had, you worked out of different locales, like you said, University City or Clayton or Maplewood or whatever, you would have offices or areas to which people could go to provide this information to each other.
Chris,
that's my comments.
Well, thank you so much. Seems like you have a lot of good ideas there.
Chris,
Sally,
you ready to volunteer for the village?
That was going to be my next comment. Sign up and help with the planning.
Thank you.
What do you think, Sally? I mean, seems like a lot of good ideas there.
Chris made a lot of really good points, and the volunteerism is definitely a foundation concept with the village, and we do hope to engage all ages. We talk about having young people, for instance, a high school sophomore will come and show you how to Skype with your grandkids in another state. There are so many ways that people can give to the village, whether you're a member or not.
Arthur, what about the idea of reciprocity?
Well, some people describe it as time banking, and yes, Grace Hill is very good at it and one of the very founders of this in our country to do that. There are villages that are based strictly on that concept and where there's very little membership fee, and it's really about you accumulate hours, and as a result, you accumulate services. So again, it's something that we've explored and talked a lot about, and we'll try to figure out how we're able to kind of build that into STL Village as we move forward.
So this is not like a McDonald's franchise. I mean, it's not like every village is exactly the same.
They're all totally different. Both. I mean, they really are. You know, the one on Cape Cod is limited to only 40 people. There are no dues. You know, the one I described in southern New Hampshire, 400 square miles, and the one that just relies on time banking up in the Sierras in California. So they're all very different. But it's really about addressing the issues of ageism and really empowering people as we move along in life to recognize that we have all these gifts to be able to continue to do to keep us actively engaged and to draw upon those.
Sally, it would seem to me that the online world would be useful to this, except for the fact that a lot of people over 50 are not really tech savvy. I mean, they have difficulty with computers, and many of them don't use their smartphones and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Is this something that you're giving some thought to, how to make use
definitely,
of it?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. In fact, this morning at the Village to Village Network conference, we heard a woman speak about social networks and Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, all of these online forums. And first of all, we're reaching out not just to the 50-plus people, but maybe the children of or the funding sources. So it's really a much broader community. Making social networking a really important part of how we'll communicate. But we'll also be offering training, help with computers.
That I'm sure will come in handy. I mean, clearly there is a generational divide when it comes to this high-tech digital world. Back to the phones. Lori is calling from St. Louis. Lori, thanks for being with us. Go ahead.
Thank you, and I'm so excited to hear that the village has finally arrived in St. Louis. In 2007, I went to the national conference on how to make your neighborhood into a village. I've been a caregiver for years, and families hire me, and I do a variety of things for them. I'm unemployed right now because my lady went into a nursing home, But I just about fell off my chair when I heard that St. Louis is finally, I'm so excited because I'm just one person. I was the only caregiver amongst people that were representing our government, and all kinds of people were there. And I'm just Lori, and I'm looking forward to getting involved. I didn't know you were in town right now. Hi. I'd like to be part of the village in some way, shape, or form.
But thanks for the call, Lori. Okay.
She can follow us on Facebook. I mean,
and, you're on Facebook.
Yep, good way to be in touch with us.
And we have that phone number that Sally gave a moment ago, 314-802-0275. So, Lori, get on the phone and get this thing going. Thank you so much for the call. There was mention of funding sources, and I know we've talked about membership fees, which are kind of unsettled at the moment, if I understand that correctly. What are your funding sources? Where is the money going to come from for whatever else you might need?
It's going to come from a variety of sources. It's going to come from individuals, corporations, family foundations, the usual suspects.
What kind of a budget are we talking about? What do you need?
Well, our budget initially will be modest. We won't be able to pay a full-time executive director and part-time staff and whatnot. But as we grow and we accumulate more money, I think we'll be able to do that. But I also think there's a real opportunity that we're now beginning to realize. The Accountable Care Act, for example, many people—
The Affordable Care Act, Obamacare.
Right, Affordable Care Act. Yeah. This could be a really good way to help people not be rehospitalized. You know, there's a big issue today. And again, you know, if people were able to be released from the hospital and were members of villages, there are people now working with hospitals and other villages. They're going to demonstrate and to be able to prove that. So I think that that could be a really big piece.
That could be big, yeah. Let's, as time starts to wind down, I want to bring in Jeff from St. Louis and get his question or comment in. Go ahead, Jeff. It'll have to be fast, though.
Okay, thank you. And I can take my answer off the phone. Don mentioned that part of this territory is in what he described as rough neighborhoods. Rough neighborhoods also means economically challenged neighborhoods. Do you have any provision for people who can't afford $600 a year? And now.
So we will have what's kind of a membership plus, so we'll try to subsidize members who are interested, who aren't able to afford to do that. How much we'll be able to do that from the get-go remains to be seen. But I also suspect that's where the corporations and the foundations will play a larger role, because they'll want to support, you know, that type of individual who would benefit from being part of the village.
Again, we've thrown a number of numbers around. What is your anticipated number of people who could be involved, could use these services in the area that we're talking about?
Well, the demographics tell us that there are 7,500.
7,500. Well, that's
potential.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And again, that telephone number bears repeating, and it's 314-802-0275. What about the potential for expansion? I know you're just starting to spread your wings a little bit now. Is there any thought given to possibly expanding the area that we're talking about?
Yeah, the model that we would like to propose is this kind of hub and spoke, where this would be the hub, and then Lafayette Square or Tower Grove or other places throughout the city who routinely come to our informational sessions who say, we would like to be a part of that, and together would be part of this larger STL village. So, again, I think St. Louis really lends itself to that by virtue of the neighborhoods that we have. So I think to get this established, get it firmly in place, and then to be able to reach out to others and to help them start in their neighborhoods.
We've only got about a minute left. Tell us about the conference, Sally. What's going on there, and can people who are just interested in the concept show up?
Absolutely. The conference is taking place at the Hyatt downtown. And as we said, it's today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. And the subject matter ranges everything from how to build your membership to what's your best marketing tool and social media and all sorts of great information.
You're taking input from people who have gone through this before.
Absolutely.
Is that right?
And you can come down and sign up and jump on.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, both of you, for being with us, Sally Nikolaevich and Arthur Colbert. Best of luck to all of you and anybody who gets involved with STL Village. We'll be most interested in seeing how it shapes up, and we'll talk to you again, I'm sure, once that June 1st deadline approaches.
Thank you very much for having me.
When we come back, we'll talk about the power of music and how it's hitting the right note with injured veterans. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.